I invite you tonight to take your Bibles and let's turn to Luke chapter 1. As many of you know, I love history and I love reading historical narratives. When we were up in Greenville last week on Thanksgiving Day, the boys came to me and says, "Can we go up to Bob Jones and see the campus and see the places that you worked when you were a student there?" So we remember you taking us when we were little and we haven't been there in a long time, so I drove them up there. And we went to the gravesite of Dr. Bob Jones Sr. and his wife, and then Dr. Bob Jr. and his wife, Beneth Jones. They're all buried there in front of the Rhoda Heber Auditorium. And then I looked at them and said, "Walk with me. We'll walk over to the auditorium, see if it's open." And the door to the green room, which I went through many, many times during my years there at BJ because I worked at the auditorium there, was unlocked, and the lights were on. There was a maintenance truck out front, so we went in there. "Hello, hello, anybody here?" Nobody was there. So I took the boys through there, and I showed them all the places that I worked, and we stood on the stage there at Rhoda Heber Auditorium. And I was reminded that the opening service that was held on the Greenville campus was on Thanksgiving Day, November the 27th, 1947. They had just moved from Cleveland, Tennessee. They had built several of the buildings. The last building to be finished at that time was the Rhoda Heber Auditorium, and they had a big Thanksgiving service there. Dr. Bob Sr. preached that. And I was standing on the spot where the pulpit would have been put at that time, and I was thinking back 77 years ago, Dr. Bob Sr. was giving thanks to the Lord, was praising the Lord from this spot for what he had done to bring them to Greenville. It had been a long, convoluted story of intrigue, and this property was offered, that property was not offered. It was just back and forth, and God had undertaken and provided for them. And, you know, I think it's important for us as believers to appreciate history. We need to learn to appreciate it, because you see, all of us are recipients of that history. You have your own history, and I hope that you're thankful for it, good or bad, because we can learn many things from the bad as well as the good. There are just things that we need to know, and as I told my boys, I said, "This is where I worked," and I took them around the different locations and so forth like that, and I said, "This chair over here, they still have the same chair in there that Mr. Mel Stratton used to sit on. He was the one that helped build Rhoda Heber Auditorium. He designed the stage. He went to the Metropolitan Opera House in New York City. They donated the entire stage that was there because they were refurbishing the one there. They took it out, moved it down to Greenville, and Mel Stratton was the man that put it all together again. The huge jack screws that went three stories down underground and would go up four stories. That's how long those screws were. It's just an amazing thing. And this man that God raised up, who had fought in World War II, came back, and God used him in something that he'd never done before. He was a carpenter, but he learned how to do staging and so forth, and he made an impact in my life. He would tell the stage boys, "Hey, if you want to play basketball, come over to my house tonight. 6 o'clock, we'll have a 4-on-4. So we would go over there. I couldn't play basketball worth beans. And this was a man that he loved to one-up you on everything. So he picked on me that night. And I remember the fun that we had there. He said, "Todd, I'm giving you a heads up. I'm going to throw you the ball." He was just that kind of a guy. You know, I said, don't throw me the ball. Because he threw it like it was a rocket. And I knew I wasn't going to catch it. It was going to go off into the street somewhere. But all the memories started flooding back of the man that sat in that chair at every performance. He would run up the stairs to the very top. If something broke during a performance, you would see him running up the little stairwell up to the very top at 68 years of age, run up to the top, skip across the bars to get over to a pulley to pop it back into place, run back down again to continue on with what we were doing. He was just that kind of a man. And he had an impact in my heart in life. History, folks, history means something. And in Luke chapter 1, we have two angelic announcements of births that were going to take place. Now, this is historical. Both of them are going to have the miraculous assigned with them. One would be to an older couple, beyond childbearing years, Zacharias and Elizabeth. They had an angel that came to visit. Look at, please, at verse 13. But the angel said unto him, that is Zacharias, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Now think for just a moment. What prayer? A prayer that they had been praying all their married years. Now think about that for just a moment. I'm overwhelmed at how good and gracious God is at this particular point in this elderly couple's life. Fear not, Zacharias. Your prayer's been heard. Now here he is, he's aged. His wife is aged. And I'm sure he thought in his own mind, you know, which prayer is he talking about? I've had so many prayers during the years. You're going to have a son. And his name is going to be called John. Do you know what John means? Giannis, God is gracious. That's what John means. God is gracious. And Zacharias was incredulous. Hey, we're going to have a baby at our age? And because he lacked faith at this point, he was told that he would not speak again until the child would be born. So for 9 months, Elizabeth had the best time of her life. She had a quiet husband. All right? He didn't have anything to say. He couldn't talk. But he spoke again when the baby was born. And the people were arguing about, what are they going to call the child? Is going to call him Zacharias after his father? And what is interesting here, that it seems that not only could he not speak, but he couldn't hear. Because they took a tablet to him. What shall the child's name be? And he answered, John. And whenever he wrote the word John, immediately he was able to speak and he was able to hear again. He had done what God said. His name shall be called John. He was incredulous because of his age. And please, do not say, well, I wouldn't have been that way. Are you kidding me? If my wife came to me and said, Todd, we're going to have a baby. First of all, I'd say, are you what? That's not happening. All right? We're past those years. We're past those years. And so, here's this elderly couple. Hey, your prayer has been answered. Let me just say this about prayer. You can pray for a very, very, very long time, and God can still hear your prayer. Isn't that wonderful? And the gift of a son, whose name would be John, which means God is gracious, God gave him that name. God in His goodness can choose when He answers your prayer. We struggle with that, do we not? We struggle with that whole aspect of prayer and the timing of prayer. We want it right now. We want our prayer answered right now. And sometimes God says, no, we're going to wait. Remember, Daniel waited for 21 days before his prayer request was answered. The answer had already been sent, but there was a great battle that took place between the angels to deliver that message to him. You think about other prayer requests for Hannah, who had prayed for so long to have a child. As a matter of fact, when she was praying, Eli, the priest, thought she was drunk. Have you ever had a prayer meeting like that, where you were so involved in your prayer that someone would think that you were drunk? But that was a heart yearning for God to answer. And God did. Listen, folks, we need to be content with the timing of God's answers as well as with the answer. Did you hear me now? Be content with the timing of His answers as well as the actual answer itself. We struggle with that. So this narrative here begins with an answered prayer. And it's going to be that this elderly couple is going to have a son, and his name is going to be John, and he's going to have a specific task. His job is to go ahead and to level the road. That's what he's going to do. He's a road leveler. He is going to be a forerunner, a road leveler for the Messiah. Because you see, there's another birth announcement in this same chapter. By the way, Luke chapter 1 is the longest chapter in the New Testament. And buddy, is it full of testimony about the Lord Jesus Christ. Coming from the lips of Zechariah, as he shares prophecies about the Lord Jesus, who would be known as the horn of salvation. And so we have the announcement made to Joseph and to Elizabeth that she's going to have a child. But her birth announcement's a little bit different than what Elizabeth would hear. Yes, it was miraculous what was going to happen with Elizabeth and with Zacharias. But in the case of Mary, there would not be an earthly father. Number one, a virgin birth. And the second thing, the one that you're going to bear, that child will be known as holy, without sin. In the Latin, we would say it, pose non peccari, not possible to sin. What a picture is given in these birth announcements. One would act as the forerunner, the one who would go before and pave the way for the delivery of this other man who would be born 6 months after John, who would be the Savior of the world. This historical narrative is not dry bone stuff. It's not something that you sleep through in history class. This is world transforming news. And God used angels for both of them. A virgin birth was necessary, and that one that was born must be holy. Must not have a sin nature. And so you find no mention of Joseph in that prophecy. You only see that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be placed there by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Now, all of these are answers to prophetic scripture. John the Baptist was foretold in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ was foretold in the Old Testament. Is this not good news, gospel, good news? Absolutely. And so history comes together in the fullness of time. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Galatians 4 and verse 4 tells us. All of that comes together in history. Folks, you may not be a history lover. You may not care a whole lot for history. But I want to tell you something. You better care about this. Because this historical statement is not myth. It's not a possibility that this happened. This is truth from God's Word, that a Savior was born. This horn of salvation, by the way, horn used here in this passage or the prophecy that Zacharias gives about the horn of salvation, horn is not something that you play. That was much to my chagrin, because I love the trumpet. But it's not a horn that you play. It's the horn of an ox. And what does a horn do on an ox's head? I want to tell you something. You don't want to be in front of it. Put it that way. These idiots that run in Spain at the running of the bulls, and they get gored, and they get thrown around like rag dolls. You find out that bull has authority, and he proves his authority. He can use his horns to move you out of the way. The picture here is of the one with authority has the capability of bringing salvation to this world. He has everything that he needs. He's all powerful. That's our Christ, folks. And so we're going to be looking at that in the time leading up to Christmas. We're going to be looking at the horn of salvation in our messages. And I'm going to be bringing out, there's 10 factors here that are, I think, that we find here. Some find 11. I'm combining one because it appears twice in the narrative, the mercy of God. But we're going to be touching on what God shared through Zacharias about Christ and about John the Baptist, who would be the forerunner. Now, why did God need a forerunner? We're going to be looking at that. Why did he need someone to prepare the way of the Lord? We're going to look at that, and we're going to see that John had a very important role given to him by God to establish the way of the Messiah in Israel. And so we're going to look at that as we go on. Two birth announcements. Both of them smack of the miraculous. But only one of them was both holy and virgin born. And that's our Savior tonight. Amen? He's our Savior and our Lord and our King. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. Pray now your blessings as we go our ways. And Lord, may the joy of the Lord be on our lips. Help us not to walk around complaining about our plight in life and how busy we are, but rather help us to be filled with the joy that only you can bring because of the salvation that you have brought into our lives. Lord, I pray that we'd be faithful witnesses for you, that we might share the good news with as many people as we can. And we thank you, dear Father, for the testimony of Zacharias and Elizabeth, two elderly people who had prayed their adult lives for a child, and finally in their old age would receive the news that their prayer had been answered. What a gracious and loving God you are. And I pray that you might help us to appreciate the grace that you minister in our hearts and lives every day, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.